Okay, what they actually decided was that the various plaintiffs who had come forward to sue over this issue, they don't have standing. So this is an issue that we saw just last week or just days ago with, you remember, the challenge to mifepristone, that abortion pill. 9-0, the court decided that they didn't have standing, the pro-life doctors who brought that case. It looks like they're doing similar here, but it's not a unanimous opinion. It looks like Justice Barrett, who is one of the most junior justices, and these go, they're released in reverse seniority. So it says that she, Chief Justice Robert Sotomayor, Kagan, Kavanaugh, and Jackson joined together. Justice Alito dissents with Thomas and Gorsuch. But essentially what they're saying is neither the states, because there were states involved in this, and or the plaintiffs have the standing to seek the injunction against any defendants.
So that was pretty much the big Supreme Court ruling that we got this morning. Still nothing on immunity, but Shannon Bream, as she is apt to do, she's my favorite when it comes to anything that has to do with Supreme Court, because she's very well studied and very experienced in everything Supreme Court. So I listen, I lean in when she talks. The Missouri case here essentially was pushed away and said there's no standing. So there's not an actual ruling on what took place there. They just essentially said the same thing as the mifepristone abortion pill ruling that came out, what was it, 2 weeks ago, I guess, that said we're not going to go over, we're not going to litigate the merits of this case because you're not the right people to bring this case. And a lot of people not really loving that. And we'll dig more into that as the day goes on, as the story is continuing to unfold. We are a day away from the debate, and we're very excited for everybody who is going to be with us at Dave & Buster's tomorrow. It is sold out fast. There's another debate. It's September 10th, I believe. And I'm just going to say right now, when we announce whatever we're going to do for a September 10th debate, get those tickets fast, because I want to see all of you there. And this one just filled up super, super fast. I'm really excited for the debate tomorrow. I'm really bummed that it decided to rain for the first time in 8 years last night. This is the last week of league baseball for my son. And Brad, this is out near where Brad lives, but there was a lightning show all around the fields. But with technology today, which I respect, they have these, you know, you can have a system where if lightning strikes within a certain amount of distance, an alarm goes off, and then the rule is that you have to clear the area, clear the field at least for 30 minutes. So naturally, last night, supposed to have a baseball game then, supposed to have a baseball game Friday, finally gets rained out. They finally call it last night. We sat there for an hour plus waiting for a decision to be made, and they scheduled his baseball game for when? Thursday at 8. Don't they know what's going on Thursday at 8?
Man, nobody's going to go to that baseball game.
I got news for you. Let's just say that the people who are at that baseball game to begin with really love the people who are on the field.
Yeah.
in general, that's the way it goes. It's youth baseball. So I'm going to have to, yes, I'm going to miss the baseball game. I'm going to be at the debate. It's one of those hard things. I've got four kids. If you're familiar with the show, you already know that. I talk about them quite a bit. But it's one of those really difficult things that I have to do as a working mom of four. I'm always trying to balance the work and the kid thing. And this is not unlike anybody else out there right now who's working in a dual income home. And I always think about this conversation surrounding, you know, where do women belong? Do they belong at the boardroom table, or do they belong in the kitchen making PBJs? And the actual feminist answer to that is, I'll ask her where she'd like to be. That's really what feminism was supposed to do, is to say, you know, it should really be up to her to decide what she wants to do. Now you have people like me who have kids at home and a job and a workplace. And so you got to balance everything. And there's always going to be conflicts. And you just have to know, where's the priority? And for me, it's always my kids. My kids are always the priority. But my kids also have to understand that I have responsibilities, and that when they grow up, they're going to have responsibilities too. Maybe it's to make the PBJs, to make sure the house is in order and that the kids are being raised, you know, educated and all of that. It's up to the woman. But they also are going, my children are being raised to understand that I do have responsibilities. And I think that they respect me for that, I think. So when you look at the way that moms and dads are balancing their time today in June of 2024, and you factor in the idea that in the United States of America, we get to elect a president of the United States who's going to have a pretty dramatic impact on how easy it is to make those decisions and how hard it is to make those decisions. I think that's why people are going to be tuning in tomorrow night to this debate. People who are not traditionally interested in this, actually, in a lot of ways, they're repulsed by this. Now, I don't get paid anything to show up to this debate tomorrow night. It's not a financial decision for me to understand that I made a commitment to go to this debate party and that's where I'm going to be. It's the right thing to do. Because Americans, even moms and dads out there, are going to be paying attention to how this presidential election shakes out. Because it's not easy to be a parent in the United States of America today. Everything costs more. You've got to look over your kids more. You've got to make sure that if you're sending them to a taxpayer-funded, publicly educated classroom, that you know what they're learning about. It doesn't mean you're going to stop what they're learning about necessarily, but you've got to be able to be aware of what influences might have found their way into the classrooms with your kids. And you've got to parent alongside of that, even when the educators in those classrooms are told that, yeah, you can have secrets with those kids. Don't tell the parents. If the child wants to identify as something else, you do not tell the parent that. Do you know that in the state of Illinois that's happening? Do you know that in the state of Illinois, if a child, I'm not even talking like high school, I'm talking younger than that. If a child goes to a teacher and says, you know, yeah, my name is Samantha, but I'd like to go by Sam, and I'd like for you to refer to me as a he now. Teacher can't, in many districts, divulge that to the parents when they sit down. Maybe that kid is struggling. Maybe the parents know that the child is struggling academically, and maybe the parents confide into the teacher, yeah, we've had these types of struggles at home. The teacher cannot reveal that information that has been confided into the teacher, can't reveal to the parents. The only way that you protect a secret like that is if you feel like it's dangerous to tell the parents. Think about that for a second. That's wild. Or as they say on the internet, my least favorite phrase, let that sink in. It's like, I don't need time. I got it the first time. So you may be saying, Annie, our kids are safe in our classrooms. You're on one today. That's not something we need to worry about. Our kids are fine in the classrooms. There's nothing wrong there. Okay, well, I disagree. I invest and sacrifice financially to send my kids to a school where religion is the first class that they acknowledge, or prayer is how you open the school day. It's important to us. It's worth the financial sacrifice for us. And I think it is absolutely worth looking into if you're looking for an alternative for your kid. And it's really unfortunate that the Democrats in America want to hinder people of lower means from being able to choose a school that their kids go to. I don't understand why the Democrats are for that. But if you say, Annie, no, the kids are safe in school, you're wrong there. Let me ask you about your kids playing at the playground. You dropping your kids off at the playground and tell them you'll be back in an hour? Are you letting your kids get on their bike and show up hours later after they've driven all around town like you used to do when you were a kid? Do you drop your kids off at the mall and tell them I'll pick you up in a few hours after you run some errands? I don't. I won't. Do you know the names of the young girls who have been raped, strangled, murdered, dumped into the river because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time? While these people are coming across the southern border and they know they're in the right place at the right time, at least for them, because they've been welcomed in. That's the policy in this country. Make no mistake about it. There are 400 people in this country that we don't know who they are and where they are, who are suspected to have been ushered in to this country through a human trafficking ring that is overseen by ISIS. You letting your kid go stay at the playground by themselves for an unsupervised amount of time like you did when you were a child? I'm not. When you go to fill up gas at the, into your car, when you go to pull the minivan up or the pickup truck up and you put the pump into the gas tank, you feel good about that? I recall being at a gas station probably halfway through Trump's term, and gas was under $2 a gallon at the time. And I think I filled up my car for about $30. And I remember being like, this is wild. And I remember thinking the opportunity that my family would have to pile in the car and go somewhere because we could afford it easily. It wouldn't be punitive to our checkbook. That type of thing matters. If you're somebody who lives in a suburban or a rural area and you're driving to and from work and you've got to drive 50 miles a day, does it matter to you that gas is $4 a gallon now? Does it matter to you that if you're in a situation like I'm in, live in Illinois, work in Missouri, that you have to balance the dangers of getting gas in downtown St. Louis? And before you're like, Annie, St. Louis is safe. I've literally had my car stolen from my hands pumping gas at 4 p.m. in this city. So I got this one. I have to balance the dangers of filling my pump up, filling my gas tank up at the pump in St. Louis with the punitive overtaxation of the supermajority of Democrats in Illinois. I have to make that decision every day. And it always kind of shocks me when I'm getting gas in Missouri thinking, not Missouri, but specifically downtown St. Louis. I'm thinking, I'm kind of taking a risk here. How much money am I really saving? Like, what is this worth? You compound it, filling up 1.5 times a week, it adds up. But like, what is the risk worth? These are not thoughts you have as a parent, as an employee. These are not thoughts you have when gas is $30 to fill up your tank. But they're thoughts that you have right now. We live in a world where people who are employees, who are parents, who are, just good citizens of their community, everything, everywhere you go, you've got to have your head on a swivel because things aren't working for you. It's not easy right now. And, you know, maybe you're going to say, Annie, well, it wasn't like easy when Donald Trump was in office. I challenge you to compare prices, to look at inflation, to see where inflation skyrocketed after Joe Biden took office. Look at the decisions that Joe Biden made when it comes to energy in this country on day one. Number one priority was to work actively against your ability to have affordable energy. It's because he knows better. Everything that you're experiencing right now that is not as good as it was 4 years ago, these are active decisions that are made by Joe Biden and the Democrats who initially had control of the whole schmo. And if you don't like it, you're just wrong. You haven't come to the right conclusion yet. Tomorrow night, Joe Biden is going to have to make the case that these 4 years that he has been the president of the United States are better for you than you can even understand. He's going to have to persuade you to set aside what you know to be your lived experience in Joe Biden's America and say that if Donald Trump were to be elected president in November, that the whole thing would come crumbling down because democracy will die. You're going to have to listen to Joe Biden explain why his economic positions are actually pushing us in a direction that is better for you and it's better for everybody. And yeah, it might be painful, but this is what we got to go through to get where we need to be. Do you believe him? Because before you hear him make his sale, make sure you know 100% what it's like to live in Joe Biden's America. And it doesn't take any time to assess that reflection. Many, many, many people are struggling. Many people who shouldn't be struggling, who are making a solid middle-class existence, realize, I don't have much room for error. You feel blessed. You like your job. You're well-paid. You live within your means. But why is it not easier? Why is it not simpler to put some dollars in a savings account, to invest something into your retirement, a little bit more. It should be easier now because you were doing well, and now it's too painful. There's too much of a struggle. You've got to understand that anytime anything breaks in your house, the inflation prices on the appliances you're going to have to replace, the car stuff you're going to have to do, everything costs so much more. And it snowballs to this point tomorrow night at the debate where Joe Biden is going to tell you that you're wrong about what you feel about your existence in Joe Biden's America. And Donald Trump is going to have to sell to you that he's got the policies to get everything back on track. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the politicians who are trying to sell something to you? Or are you going to listen to your own lived experience? Because that will probably answer the question itself. The YouTube live chat poll for today, it's a piggyback off of yesterday's poll. Yesterday we asked, is Donald Trump a good man? Today we ask, is Joe Biden a good man? We want to know what you think. You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, leave your vote right there, leave a comment if you so choose, and we'll highlight some of them over the course of the show. Kurt says, no, 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 there isn't enough room in the comments to list reasons. Also, the only way he's not the most evil, worst president in history is if Obama is really pulling the strings. Well, that's a resounding no answer. Do you agree with Kurt? Or do you think, you know what, he's a terrible president, but he's a pretty good man? You go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and let us know. When we return, Caroline Sunshine coming onto the Annie Fry Show, the Deputy Director of Communications at Donald J. Trump for President on the Annie Fry Show in just a minute.
Both President Trump and President Biden are going to show up ready. They're going to show up prepared. I think that they're going to be serious and focused. I mean, this is as high a stakes as it gets. Maybe the stakes now are higher than they've ever been. So I would expect both presidents to show up prepared.
Well, there you have Lee Zeldin. I respect Lee Zeldin a whole lot, especially a guy like Lee Zeldin as a Republican running to be the governor of New York and me living across the river here in St. Louis in Illinois. Oh, gosh, a girl could dream. We're talking about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Expectations for Joe Biden arguably are significantly low to the point where maybe they couldn't be lower. But a lot of people are saying now that Joe Biden's going to show up and he's going to be ready to play. Let's ask our next guest. Excited to have Caroline Sunshine on the show with us. She is the Deputy Director of Communications at Donald J. Trump for President. Caroline, thank you for being here with us today. It's an honor to have you here.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm so excited for tomorrow. I mean, for nerds, I'm just going to put you in the nerd category here with me, where I proudly sit. Tomorrow night is a big, big, big evening.
It is a big evening. And it's not just a big evening for us political nerds, right? It's a really big evening for our country. You know, I think sadly under Joe Biden, our country is more and more looking like a banana republic. But, you know, I know a lot of Americans, myself included, do still cherish our First Amendment rights, even though I do believe they're under assault. When you look at, for example, President Trump having to endure an unconstitutional gag order from a highly conflicted judge who's infringing on his First Amendment rights. But this is really important, right? We don't do things by coronation in the United States. I think Joe Biden behaves like a tyrant in many ways. But look, Joe Biden still does have to show up on that debate stage. He does have to not only stand for 90 minutes, which I hear, yes, is perhaps going to be a challenge for him, but he's going to have to stand by his record. So yes, we are looking forward to this. It's a good night, it's a great night for not just, like you said, us political nerds. It's a great night for our country.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. We're speaking with Caroline Sunshine with the Donald J. Trump for President campaign. I appreciate that there's two different expectations that exist out here, one for Joe Biden, of course, and one for Donald Trump. And the expectation for Joe Biden, the question people have is, can he make it through the debate? What a low standard. But I don't think people know a whole lot of what to make about what Trump is going to do in this debate. And everyone on the left keeps going like, oh, there are different Trumps that could show up. Is he going to be angry and combative? What do you think that we're going to see from Donald Trump tomorrow night when he gets to speak to such a large portion of our country?
Yeah, well, I think this is where President Trump is actually at his best. You know, I mean, I won't get ahead of President Trump. He's his own man. And, you know, unlike Joe Biden, we don't have to coddle him and cloister him away at a retreat and over-advise this man. President Trump is a leader. We take our cues from him, not the other way around. And President Trump is somebody who I think one thing voters really love about him, in addition to his excellent policy record, but something they love about him is that he is who he is, and he says what he's going to say, and he speaks the truth. And some people might find that to be politically incorrect or whatever, but it's really what millions of Americans love about him. And I think it's why they're looking forward to tuning in and watching him. Look, President Trump agreed to debate any time, any place, anywhere. This debate is being held on CNN. We don't obviously expect a fair fight. We expect certainly maybe a three-on-one dynamic. I don't think Joe Biden, for example, would have ever agreed to a debate on Fox News, but President Trump is going to show up and he's going to speak the truth about his record. And he has a great record. And, you know, this is another thing that's important about this debate is that this is the first time in, I believe, over a century, the American people have an opportunity to compare two former presidents and their records back to back. And President Trump, you know, under President Trump, we had the most secure border in U.S. history. We had an economy that was working for all Americans, where gas was, $1.69 and inflation was at 1.9%. And the American dream still felt real and alive and attainable for people. We had peace deals being signed in the Middle East. Our enemies were in check. Our allies were paying their fair share. We were respected on the world stage. Under Joe Biden, we've seen the worst border crisis in U.S. history. We have war in the Middle East and in Europe with no end in sight. China, Russia, Iran are running amok. We're not respected on the world stage. And we have an economy where, frankly, Joe Biden has made Jimmy Carter look like a lightweight. So President Trump intends to speak the truth about his record. He also intends to speak the truth about the issues that are most important to the American people, which we know are inflation, the economy, and immigration. President Trump's ideas are extremely popular on those issues with the American people. For example, a majority of Americans want mass deportations for illegal immigrants. 62% of Americans want that. They don't want mass amnesties. President Trump has said on day one, I'm going to launch the largest criminal deportation in our country's history. I'll work with law enforcement to do it. So President Trump, that's what you can expect to see from him on that debate stage. He's going to speak the truth about his record and speak the truth about what he's going to do on behalf of the American people.
We are speaking with the Deputy Director of Communications at Donald J. Trump for President, Caroline Sunshine, with us right now. I think that a lot of voters out there right now, they think that they know who Donald Trump is. There's been a ton of time and money and effort involved in trying to make Donald Trump seem like Satan incarnate. And I think that that has waned over the course of the 4 years where people realize that the person who was the alternative to Donald Trump has made it much harder to live in the United States of America. And I'm wondering, in an instance like tomorrow night, and I assume that you know Donald Trump to certainly at a level of that I don't know him, is there a side of Donald Trump that America has yet to see or understand?
I think there's a side to President Trump that the mainstream media refuses to cover. I think the American people see it, but I think there's a side to President Trump that the mainstream media, because he is such a threat to both the political and media ecosystem in this country, they knowingly refuse to cover. I think President Trump has said it best. You know, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in the way. I think in a culture of lies, which is what we have in this country, certainly in our mainstream media ecosystem, I think in a culture of lies, telling the truth is an act of treason. I think it's why this system has been so hostile to President Trump. But no, I think the American people actually, they actually do see President Trump for all his many wonderful qualities. President Trump is a man of deep compassion, but he's also a man of action. For example, Rachel Morin, a mother of five, was allegedly killed by an illegal immigrant who should have never been in our country from El Salvador. She now leaves behind five young children who are growing up without a mother. President Trump was fortunate enough to speak with her mother this past week. And I say fortunate because that's exactly how President Trump feels. He feels like it's an honor to get to speak with her mother, to listen to her, to hear about Rachel's life. He's genuinely interested in the American people. He loves spending time with them. He's funny and he's brave. And I think it's why you're seeing President Trump against all odds. You look at everything the media and the Democrats and Joe Biden have tried to throw at this man. They really can't stand that he is so beloved by the American people. You know, they just can't stand it. No matter what they try to do, it just doesn't stick. It doesn't work. So yes, there are many sides to President Trump that the mainstream media refuses to cover, but that the American people very much see. And it's why you're seeing him go up in the polls in battleground states across this country, actually.
Yeah. And even like when we talk about battleground states and swing states, they're adding states to the list that are actually even qualified as swing states, which is always fun to see. We're speaking with Caroline Sunshine, the deputy director of communications at Donald J. Trump for President. One of the questions that was brought up yesterday on this show, a lot of listeners were asking this, and I anticipate that the first question that Donald Trump is going to be asked is if he believes that the 2020 election was a fair and free one. What do you expect to hear from the president, or what is the position of the president on that question? Because he is, as you articulated earlier, it's going to be a three on one, so to speak. You get that question out the gate, and I think a lot rests on how he chooses to address it.
Sure. Well, I won't get ahead of President Trump. You know, like I said, President Trump is his own man, and I will let him speak directly to the American people. But I will say, CNN, I might add, should ask, I can tell you what their first question to Joe Biden should be. They should, if CNN has no credibility with the American people, let's be honest. I mean, you saw, I assume your listeners saw, as I know millions of Americans did just the other day, you know, CNN's Casey Hunt, who is a total lightweight, censored my colleague, Caroline Leavitt, because she was simply sharing the truth. I mean, CNN was so triggered by the truth, sharing the truth about one of the moderators of this debate, Jake Tapper, and his history of anti-Trump remarks. So my advice to CNN, if you want to recover a shred of credibility with the American people, you should ask Joe Biden. Joe Biden, can you tell us why you lied about knowing that the laptop from hell was not indeed Russian information, like the 51 U.S. intelligence officials told us that your campaign colluded with? Will you tell us, sir, why you lied about that and why you now have to admit that that laptop from hell, in fact, wasn't Russian disinformation? In fact, it was entered as evidence into your son, Hunter Biden's trial. Can you tell us that, sir? And I'll be shocked to see what Joe Biden has to say on that.
Yeah, I don't know how. I think the loving father is going to be the prevailing anything that has to do with Hunter. And then they're going to make a play to make it just about addiction, which is really not at all what Hunter Biden was.
But it's not right. It's not about that. Like you said, the issue about the laptop from hell is that Joe Biden and his campaign and the American media knowingly lied to the American people about the laptop from hell, claiming that a laptop that is very real was Russian disinformation. That's blatant election interference.
Yeah.
That is something that neither of them have had to answer to the American people, right? Like, that's what it's about.
I mean, you can see how the politics play out in this. And the question is, which of these two men tomorrow night who have had the chance to have their hands at 10-2 on the steering wheel of this country? Americans know the difference of living in Donald Trump's America and Joe Biden's America. And I'm hoping to see from each of them to defend their record. And I certainly think Donald Trump has a better record to defend than Joe Biden.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is the American people are so smart. And President Trump actually treats the American people, I think, with such respect and love. And it's why he gets that same respect and love back. I think he gets such a level of love actually back from the American people that it genuinely frustrates the American media and the Democrats that they're not beloved the same way, right? Like, they just can't figure it out. They can't figure out why they're not liked the same way that he is. But part of it is because President Trump is willing to go into the most hostile of places and not only defend his record, but he goes in there to defend the American people, right? I mean, the American people every day deal with the BS that the mainstream media sees them, the way that they paint, you know, half of this country as a basket of deplorables. I mean, they get so much BS shoved down their throat all day long from every mainline institution in this country. They look at President Trump as somebody who stands up for them, right? He's like the defender on the playground that says, hey, knock it off. You can't treat people like this, right?
Yep.
So that's part of his appeal. And that's what I expect him to do on this debate stage, is stand up for his record, but also stand up just for the American people.
Yeah. And the thing I appreciate the most about the way you are explaining the message there from the Trump campaign is you're not dividing those people up, because the American people, it's an umbrella that covers every skin color, every religion, every race, every economic class. That's the beauty of America, is that we're all very different people, but we get to share those same American values. And we won't see the same thing from the other side, I'm sure. Caroline Sunshine, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for giving us some of your time this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, would look forward to having you back again sometime soon. Deputy Director of Communications at Donald J. Trump for President. Excited to speak with her at C Sunshine on X. Go tell her hi and hello. Thank her for coming on the show with us, if you so choose. The Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll Is Joe Biden a good man? Yes or no? Votes are coming in, folks, and the comments are as well. If you want to weigh in on this question, make sure you go to the Annie Fry YouTube. And on our live broadcast for today, the chat portion is where you'll find the live chat poll. That's why we call it that. You can leave a vote. That is an anonymous vote. You can also leave a comment. That'll be whatever your handle is. You got to subscribe to comment on the poll. Dirk said, I chose yes. I think he tries to be a good man. Do you guys agree with Dirk or the previous comment that I read? Let us know what you think. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube channel. And when we come back, Wiggins America, an update on food news. Of course, it's Wednesday. We'll be right back.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Hello there, Annie, and hello, Brad.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
You guys like eating, don't you?
Not as much as you.
Too much.
Nah, yeah, not as much as me. You're right. I love eating. That's why I'm doing food news today, and it's a lot of the kind of food I like to eat.
You're doing it for you.
Yeah, really. This is Wiggins America. For Wiggins.
It's kind of lunchtime, so you might be doing some people some service
here. Yeah, and there is some stuff in here that you may want to know, especially if you're eating a little bit of a late
lunch. I love that your promo for this segment is there may be some stuff in here that you might want to know.
Well, for lunch today. You know, I think all of this is stuff you want to know, but if we're catching you for a late lunch, we may really benefit you.
Okay.
First one is about Starbucks. It says Starbucks is being urged to brew up ways to expedite wait times. The coffee roaster reported plummeting profits for the first time in years last quarter as the company faced both boycotts and inflation. But they say that one of the biggest reasons is that people are turning away from Starbucks because they're just having to wait too long in the lines. This, to me, is my number one reason for not going to Starbucks.
I just go to Scooters.
I was gonna say, Scooters has better coffee and faster lines.
It is kind of weird how fast their lines are. Granted, when I start saying my order, they stop in me and sometimes say, hi, Annie. That's true. It's
yeah.
A true statement.
No, when we have a choice. Now, I really like Starbucks chai, so I like going there and getting the drink. But between, we have a Starbucks and a Scooters both in our town, like many do now. And I pretty much am choosing Scooters every time because it's just so fast. I like their chai too. But you know, even when you see a line, it's gonna get you out of it pretty quick, and you can't say that about Starbucks. Sometimes they're okay, but sometimes they're not. But Scooters every time, I'm like, well, I know how long that's gonna take. So I pretty much every time am choosing Scooters these days too, kind of being a homer. Next one,
it's also nice to go get coffee and just get coffee.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about all the other stuff.
Feeling bad about yourself for not being a good person. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
There is a candy bar that people are saying is the best candy bar in the world. This is a milk chocolate bar filled with crispy kanafa. This is a Middle Eastern pastry. Pistachio cream and tahini spread. $20 for this chocolate bar. And you have to travel to Dubai to get it.
Okay.
Now, the reason this is making news is because apparently people are traveling to Dubai to get this chocolate bar. It's an online trend.
No. People aren't. At best, influencers are. And that's because they're bored.
Yes. But wouldn't you like to be that kind of bored?
No.
I kind of would.
I wouldn't have to be like, I got to chase the next thing. I'm going to get a candy bar in Dubai. I would rather go to Edwardsville. Quick Trip.
Get a candy bar.
Be like, I would like a Kit Kat.
I have great news for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that.
I do. I've never gone to Quick Trip for a candy bar, but I have gone to Quick Trip for like a soda.
Yeah. Well, $20 seems like it's on the high side for a candy bar anyway.
And Dubai seems like it's on the high side for a candy bar.
Yeah, but to me, the travel cost is probably the biggest expense with that one. Mm. Now, I said I was going to get to some menu items here for your lunch. If you're eating a late lunch, I'm really glad you stuck around because this is where it gets really good.
They're just sitting in their car waiting. They're hungry.
And I can tell you,
for it.
I went and did some field research on this today to make sure
you
that
ate lunch.
It was valid.
You ate lunch.
I did. And I went to McDonald's. The $5 meal has launched. It is there, and it is a pretty good value. What do you get for it? Well, You get a choice between McDouble and McChicken.
What are you picking?
I'm McDouble every time.
I think I'm going McDouble.
Duh.
Yeah, right?
I don't know about that McChicken.
I don't know about it either.
It's a McSomething.
I've eaten it before. I would eat it again, but McDouble every time.
Oh, I've eaten it before.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a fantastic decision.
Nah, you know.
If I'm eating a chicken sandwich, we've gone over this before. When I go to the drive-thru and I don't know, I'm like, is it a whole white meat chicken breast? And that one lady laughed at me and goes, I don't know. And I was like, I think we do.
Yeah, I think that's your answer.
I think I know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you get one of those two, McDouble or McChicken, plus small fries, plus a 4-piece chicken nuggets and a small soft drink.
What's with the nuggets in there? You don't need nuggets in there.
Yeah, you do,
no,
Annie.
You don't.
It's value added. $5 and you get 4 items. I think this is a pretty good deal.
You're
I
such
like
a
the
sucker.
Meal. Oh, I absolutely am. $5 for that? I'm like, I think this is day one and I was there.
Right? Is that value? Is that a good price for that meal?
It's not bad if you consider the drink being $1.
What's the soda size?
The McDouble being $2. It's pretty small. I got to say that. It's like their smallest cup they have is your soda.
And if you decide I'd like a large drink, it's now $10.
I'm sure they're upcharging you a couple more bucks for sure. But hey, you can also use the app. I think double down on this. You got to spend a little bit more to get to the threshold to use in the app.
Why don't you just read Ender's comment there on the YouTube Live?
Let me see. Ender. Wendy's has the same thing and a Frosty and just is way better. You know what, Ender? Let's go to my next story. Wendy's offers free Frosties and a $5 combo to take on McDonald's $5 meal deal. There
this
you go.
This is what capitalism is.
Isn't it great?
And I'll tell you what. If you want to listen to the Biden administration talk about how Bidenomics is good, they're not really saying it anymore because it's not working. But they are trying to explain. This is the line, folks. This is the rip and read Democrat talking points line. We have the best economy in the world right now. We're doing the best compared to ever. Well, who cares if it still sucks? Like, I don't care if we're the skinniest kid at fat camp. I don't want to worry about what everybody else is doing. We should be America-ing as hard as we possibly freaking can so that we are the envy of the world, and it gives us the power and authority in all sorts of different ways to make sure that we're taking care of our own. So the current Democrat talking point is we're doing better than everybody else. Well, if everybody else is in the can, then I don't really care to be judging myself relative to that. If you look at marketing right now, all of these big brands, McDonald's and Wendy's, but broader than that, value and deals are bigger than they've ever been. Saving money is bigger than it's ever been. That's how you know that it's gone far enough that companies are using the in thing, which is your financial struggles. That's the thing that we all collectively together, hand in hand, understand. They're using that to sell you things. You could see the same thing years ago with all the virtue signaling woke stuff, whatever the current du jour woke thing was that was the most heartstring tugging. That's what they used to sell you stuff. And then when people stop buying it, then they kind of have to shift away from it. Right now, the thing is, your finances suck. Let's figure out how we can get the most of them.
And they're all doing it because it's not just those two. It's Burger King's doing a $5 Your Way meal, very, very similar, where you can pick one of three sandwiches with nuggets and fries and a soft drink. Did a little field research again on the Wendy's.
How many burgers did you eat today?
Not today. On the Wendy's Berry Frosty, as the French say, magnifique. So it has a certain je ne sais quoi. That you really can't
say French fry.
I did eat some of those too. I also had their saucy nuggets, which are basically just regular nuggets in a bunch of sauce. But I just want to let you know about
saucy
all those deals.
Nuggets. Another name for your act.
Only when I'm wearing really short shorts.
Here's the thing. It's three shows in one. Does cold turkey open or close?
Oh, saucy, cold turkey's last.
Saucy nugget.
He's taking you home.
Oh, DeRoy, I'm so sorry. We'll talk to you next.
Hello there, Annie, and hello, Brad.
Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
You guys like eating, don't you?
Not as much as you.
Too much.
Nah, yeah, not as much as me. You're right. I love eating. That's why I'm doing food news today, and it's a lot of the kind of food I like to eat.
You're doing it for you.
Yeah, really. This is Wiggins America. for Wiggins.
It's kind of lunchtime, so it might be doing some people some service.
Yeah, and there is some stuff in here that you may want to know, especially if you're eating a little bit of a late lunch.
I love that your promo for this segment is there may be some stuff in here that you might want to know.
Well, for lunch today. You know, I think all of this is stuff you want to know, but if we're catching you for a late lunch, we may really benefit you.
Okay.
First one is about Starbucks. It says Starbucks is being urged to brew up ways to expedite wait times. The coffee roaster reported plummeting profits for the first time in years last quarter as the company faced both boycotts and inflation. But they say that one of the biggest reasons is that people are turning away from Starbucks because they're just having to wait too long in the lines. This, to me, is my number one reason for not going to Starbucks.
I just go to Scooters.
I was gonna say, Scooters has better coffee and faster lines.
It is kind of weird how fast their lines are. Granted, when I start saying my order, they stop in me and sometimes say, "Hi, Annie." That's true. It's
yeah.
A true statement.
No, when we have a choice. Now, I really like Starbucks chai, so I like going there and getting the drink. But between, we have a Starbucks and a Scooters both in our town, like many do now. And I pretty much am choosing Scooters every time because it's just so fast. I like their chai, too. But you know, even when you see a line, it's gonna get you out of it pretty quick. And you can't say that about Starbucks. Sometimes they're okay, but sometimes they're not. But Scooters every time, I'm like, well, I know how long that's going to take. So I pretty much every time am choosing Scooters these days, too. Kind of being a homer. Next one.
It's also nice to go get coffee and just get coffee.
Yeah.
And not have to worry about all the other stuff.
Feeling bad about yourself for not being a good person. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
There is a candy bar that people are saying is the best candy bar in the world. This is a milk chocolate bar filled with crispy kanafa. This is a Middle Eastern pastry. Pistachio cream and tahini spread. $20 for this chocolate bar. And you have to travel to Dubai to get it.
Okay.
Now, the reason this is making news is because apparently people are traveling to Dubai to get this chocolate bar. It's an online trend.
No. People aren't. At best, influencers are. And that's because they're bored.
Yes. But wouldn't you like to be that kind of bored?
No.
I kind of would.
I wouldn't have to be like, I got to chase the next thing. I'm going to get a candy bar in Dubai. I would rather go to Edwardsville. Quick Trip.
Get a candy bar.
Be like, I would like a Kit Kat.
I have great news for you. Mm-hmm. You can do that.
I do. I've never gone to Quick Trip for a candy bar, but I have gone to Quick Trip for like a soda.
Yeah. Well, $20 seems like it's on the high side for a candy bar anyway.
And Dubai seems like it's on the high side for a candy bar.
Yeah, but to me, the travel cost is probably the biggest expense with that one. Mm. Now, I said I was going to get to some menu items here for your lunch. If you're eating a late lunch, I'm really glad you stuck around because this is where it gets really good.
They're just sitting in their car waiting. They're hungry.
And I can tell you,
for it.
I went and did some field research on this today to make sure
you
that
ate lunch.
It was valid.
You ate lunch.
I did. And I went to McDonald's. The $5 meal has launched. It is there, and it is a pretty good value. What do you get for it? Well, you get a choice between McDouble and McChicken.
What are you picking?
I'm McDouble every time.
I think I'm going McDouble.
Duh.
Yeah, right?
I don't know about that McChicken.
I don't know about it either.
It's a McSomething.
I've eaten it before. I would eat it again, but McDouble every time.
Oh, I've eaten it before.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a fantastic decision.
Nah, you're
if I'm
like,
eating a chicken sandwich, chicken. We've gone over this before. When I go to the drive-thru and I don't know, I'm like, is it a whole white meat chicken breast? And that one lady laughed at me and goes, I don't know. And I was like, I think we do.
Yeah, I think that's your answer.
I think I know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you get one of those two, McDouble or McChicken, plus small fries, plus a 4-piece chicken nuggets and a small soft drink.
What's with the nuggets in there? You don't need nuggets in there.
Yeah, you do,
no,
Annie.
You don't.
It's value added. $5 and you get 4 items. I think this is a pretty good deal.
You're
I
such
like
a
the
sucker.
Meal. Oh, I absolutely am. $5 for that. I'm like, I think this is day one, and I was there.
Right? Is that value? Is that a good price for that meal?
It's not bad if you consider the drink being $1.
What's the soda size?
The McDouble being $2. It's pretty small. I got to say that. It's like their smallest cup they have is your soda.
And if you decide I'd like a large drink, it's now $10.
I'm sure they're upcharging you a couple more bucks for sure. But hey, you can also use the app. I think double down on this. You got to spend a little bit more to get to the threshold to use in the app.
Why don't you just read Ender's comment there on the YouTube Live?
Let me see. Ender. Wendy's has the same thing and a Frosty and just is way better. You know what, Ender? Let's go to my next story. Wendy's offers free Frosties and a $5 combo to take on McDonald's $5 meal deal. There you go.
This is what capitalism is.
Isn't it great?
And I'll tell you what. If you want to listen to the Biden administration talk about how Bidenomics is good, they're not really saying it anymore because it's not working. But they are trying to explain. This is the line, folks. This is the rip and read Democrat talking points line. We have the best economy in the world right now. We're doing the best compared to ever. Well, who cares if it still sucks? Like, I don't care if we're the skinniest kid at fat camp. I don't want to worry about what everybody else is doing. We should be America-ing as hard as we possibly freaking can so that we are the envy of the world, and it gives us the power and authority in all sorts of different ways to make sure that we're taking care of our own. So the current Democrat talking point is we're doing better than everybody else. Well, if everybody else is in the can, then I don't really care to be judging myself relative to that. If you look at marketing right now, all of these big brands, McDonald's and Wendy's, but broader than that, value and deals are bigger than they've ever been. Saving money is bigger than it's ever been. That's how you know that it's gone far enough that companies are using the in thing, which is your financial struggles. That's the thing that we all collectively together, hand in hand, understand. They're using that to sell you things. You could see the same thing years ago with all the virtue signaling woke stuff, whatever the current du jour woke thing was that was the most heartstring tugging. That's what they used to sell you stuff. And then when people stop buying it, then they kind of have to shift away from it. Right now, the thing is, your finances suck. Let's figure out how we can get the most of them.
And they're all doing it because it's not just those two. It's Burger King's doing a $5 Your Way meal, very, very similar, where you can pick one of three sandwiches with nuggets and fries and a soft drink. Did a little field research again on the Wendy's.
How many burgers did you eat today?
Not today. On the Wendy's Berry Frosty. As the French say, magnifique. So it has a certain je ne sais quoi. That you really can't
say French fry.
I did eat some of those too. I also had their saucy nuggets, which are basically just regular nuggets in a bunch of sauce. But I just want to let you know about all those
saucy nuggets. Another name for your act.
Only when I'm wearing really short shorts.
Here's the thing. It's three shows in one. Does cold turkey open or close?
Oh, saucy, cold turkey's last.
Saucy nuggets.
He's taking you home.
Oh, DeRoy, I'm so sorry. We'll talk to you next.